It's a real privilege for me this morning to be here and to bring the word of the Lord. And my prayer this morning is that when we leave this church, each one, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk, that each one will feel encouraged. That you would feel that God knows your name and He knows your address and He knows your circumstances. Okay? And I prayed in the little office there this morning that if I say anything that is not from the Lord, that you would not hear that. That you would only hear what the Lord is saying through me. And having said that, it really is a great responsibility to bring the word of the Lord to you in truth and from purity as well. So if this is not true in my life, I cannot preach this to you. Then I would be lying. I would be instructing you to do things that I'm not doing myself. So I've walked through this, the word the Lord gave me, I've worked through this, and to encourage you before we start, I'm actually in this at the moment. So I'm not speaking from a place of victory, I'm speaking from a place of in the situation. Is that alright?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Really is a privilege, and we're going to talk about a passage of scripture that is very, very well known. It's a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And I want to challenge you this morning. Please do not open your Bibles. Okay? Don't open the Bible. There's a little secret. There's a little twist to the story. I'm going to take the story from a different angle. You will know exactly where we're going, but most of you most probably have never saw this in the Bible. And I want to keep it as a secret, so don't look in your Bible. Is that all right? I will read from the scripture, I'm reading from the NIV, and some of the scriptures will be up there. So let's just relax and listen to the story, and don't work out another sermon. Just relax and find God's word for you this morning. Is that right? If you don't like me, at least like the word. Let's pray. Father, as we've come together this morning, we've taken time out of our schedules. We've come here not to fool around, not to play around. We've come here to hear you speak. But you use people, Lord. People in a broken world. People struggling with stuff as well. But you use us. And you call each one here to go and make disciples. And Lord, we sometimes feel so useless and so inadequate. So Lord, it's from that place that we actually enter your word this morning is that we're in this journey with you. So open our minds, open our ears, open our spirits to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. There will be a title and then there will be a subtitle. Is that alright? The title will be on the screen now, and when I give you the title, you will exactly know what story it is. Can you see the title? I can't see this, so I have to trust you.
Yes.
Can you read the title?
Yes.
What does it say there? Okay, alright, we're on the same slide. Okay. This is the title of the message, but it's a long one. But it's a good Baptist title. It's got all the P's in there. You see, from the pit to the palace to the prison to the promise. So you know the story. Am I right?
Yes.
Fantastic. Nothing new to the story. It's just at the end. I'm going to take a little twist, a little angle that maybe you've missed somewhere somehow. Because I've missed it for long until the Lord revealed this to me. And it really is helping me in my journey with the Lord. And that is my prayer that it will also bless you in your journey. So we're going to read from Genesis 37. And you're not opening your Bibles. Genesis 37 was verse 1 to 11, and it says, Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. There was a play about that, remember? Joseph and his amazing technicolor dream coat, I think it was. When his brothers saw this, And that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. Just take note. They hated him and could not speak a kind word of him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him even more because of his dreams and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. We'll skip a few verses. But then they saw him in the distance, and before he reached, this is now verse 18. Is that on the screen? Is that on the screen? Good. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these syringes and say a furious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the syringe here in the desert. But don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Okay, let's just stop there. This is a story. You know the story. You've heard the story. But to get to the angle that I want to get to at the end, we need to go to the family tree of Joseph. Because this is very important. We all have families. Am I right? I mean, you should somewhere have had a father and a mother. Otherwise you wouldn't have been here. And for you to be, you must have had a grandfather and a grandmother somewhere. I think I'm right. I'm not good with biology, but I think I'm right. So let's just go to the family tree. There was Abraham. Now we all know about Abraham. Now, Abraham had a wife by the name of Sarah. But they couldn't have children. And they became very agitated with the Lord, impatient with the Lord, because they wanted a child. And they decided to take matters into their own hands. And they agreed, Abraham and Sarah agreed that, and remember, this is now the great-grandfather of Joseph. We're busy with Joseph. This is his great-grandfather. So they decided, you know what, let's take matter in our own hands. Let's just have a child. And Abraham, you go to Hagar and you have a child there. That was a sin, don't you think? Was that a sin? That was a sin. So Joseph's great-grandfather and grandmother sinned. And here comes Hagar with Ishmael. Is that on the screen? Not. Where are we? I need to follow.
Sarah and Hagar.
Yeah, okay. There. Sarah and Hagar. Abraham and Hagar had a child called Ishmael. And then God graced Abraham and Sarah with a child called Isaac. Okay. So who's Isaac? Isaac is Joseph's grandfather. Am I right? Okay. But there's this family tree that was created because of sin, impatience with God, and it was Ishmael that was born. And now from Ishmael, are you there now? From Ishmael came the Ishmaelites. Am I right? And from Isaac came Esau. And Jacob. Who's Jacob? It's the father of Joseph. Right. Now what happened to Jacob? Jacob was the second son. And we know of all the deceit that took place there. To get the blessing away from Esau and onto Jacob. All the lies with the goat skin and all the blood and the... Because of Isaac's bad sight. Now let's just stop there for a while. Isn't it amazing that Joseph's grandfather, he was okay, Isaac, but his father was deceitful, and his mother. His great-grandfather and grandmother couldn't wait for God, and they did their own thing. And from there the Ishmaelites came, and we know all about the Ishmaelites. Don't we? From Jacob, 11 sons and a daughter, and Joseph was the youngest son. What did he do to deserve to land up in the pit? He was 17 years old, the Bible says. 17 years old. All he did was he shared two dreams that he didn't dream of. God gave it to him. And all he did was to be truthful to God's word, and he shared it with the dream with his family. And they hated him, and they hated him even more, and they hated him even more. To such an extent, the jealousy and the hatred, to such an extent, that they threw into a pit. Then they sold him to the people on the camels. They lied to his dad where he is, that he was taken to Egypt, and now he's untraceable. He doesn't exist anymore. Age 17. What did he do to deserve that? What did he think when he was in the pit? What did he think when he was on his way to Egypt, not knowing what is going to happen with him? Will he ever see his father again? Will he ever be reunited with him? Because he still didn't understand the dream as well. And he was just 17. Where are we now? He's now at least out of the pit. He's on his way to Egypt, but still very, very uncertain. There's no guarantees in his life at this stage. Are you with me? Now it says he's 17. Is that what it says? What does it say there? What does it say? You must speak louder, I need to hear you.
What happened next?
Okay. Sorry about this. I was thinking the screen was behind me for some other reason. Right, let's just talk about him again. So here is Joseph. He's in the pit. He's got no answer for what's happening to him. Now he's been taken away. He's on his way to Egypt. Now at least he's in the palace. But we know the story, and he is not still at the place of the promise. He's still away from his family, he still has no purpose there, and he just goes by day by day by day, and he is at a very uncertain place in his life. Is this a blank now? Then he was in Potiphar's wife, falsely accused him. He lands in prison, again some lies. So it's his great-grandfather, it's his father and his mother, it's his brothers who lie to the father, it's Potiphar's wife. His life is surrounded with lies. Maybe you can identify with that. Maybe you've been falsely accused somewhere, somehow, and you're surrounded with these lies and you know what to do, how to protect yourself from these lies. And you're struggling with that. Maybe you're struggling right now. Maybe you find yourself in a pit. Maybe you find yourself in a palace, but you know this is not the right place. And then at least from the palace, you went to the prison because of the being falsely accused. And now, at this stage, it's 13 years later. He's now 30. 13 years of being in a place where he doesn't know what God is up to. 13 years. The Bible says he was 30. Now let's just stop there for a while. I'm going to get to. Is there a blank slide? Not yet. Is there a blank slide?
No,
17.
17.
All right. And now.
Genesis 2.
Okay. Let's go there. Let's stop there. Let's take Joseph and bring him right into 2018. Let's bring him right into July of 2018, today. And let's say there are a few Josephs here this morning. Alright. You are sincere with the Lord, but you find yourself in either a pit, surrounded by hatred and lies. You find yourself maybe through circumstances, out of, not your behavior, but other circumstances. Maybe you are being rejected by some, but you find yourself either in a pit, or in a palace, which you know is not the right place, or in prison. And you feel, where is God? But because you do not have the courage to have this argument with God, you just say, Lord, where are you? You are very well behaved, but you want answers from the Lord. What is happening? And you're in a church. And that church, through the preaching, you don't get the answers. Remember, we're 2018. So you decide, you know what? I'm going to go to church A. That's another church. Because they've got amazing teaching. So you go to this church. You tell the pastor there and the counseling team your story. You tell them that you're in this pit. You don't know why you're in this pit. You don't deserve this. It's because of these people. And then obviously you tell them that your brothers lied, and that your father lied, and that your great-grandfather lied. So it's kind of a sting. And they say, oh, it's very clear. Very clear. There's this ancestral bloodline sin. You need to repent and break the bloodline curse in your life. So Joseph in 2018 at church, he goes up to the mountains. He spends 3 months there. He's breaking everything that he can. He's trying his level best to break everything that he can think of that is the cause of the situation that he's in. After 3 months, nothing changed. He's still in the prison, or he's still in the pit, but he's not at the promise. So he goes back to this church. As he walked in, he's got a letter of resignation. He heard about another church. So instead of money into the offering basket, he puts in his resignation. So he goes to church B. Goes to church B, he tells him the story of all the lies, and the father, and the great-grandfather, and the Potiphar's wife, and all these things, and being rejected by his brothers, and they say, oh, this is very clear. There's sin in your life. So Joseph of 2018, he goes up to the mountains again for 3 months. Now he's going to repent. He's asking God, Lord, show me what sin is there about. Please show me. For 3 months, he's repenting of every sin he's ever committed. He's repenting of every sin that he might commit. He's repenting of every sin that he doesn't know he committed. And he's just confessing and confessing of the sin. Because the pastor and the elders and the counselors said, there must be sin in your heart. So 3 months later, disillusioned. Because he's still in the pit, he goes back to church B. What was in his inside pocket? A letter of resignation. Because he heard there's another church. So again, he drops in the envelope into the basket, and that was the last time there. So he goes to church C. Tell the story, and they said to him, no, this is very simple. This is simple. Tell God to show you the lesson that you need to learn from. God wants to speak to you in a very special way. Find the lesson in this whole experience that you're having of a pit and a prison. Now Joseph, up to the mountain again, 3 months. No lesson. No lesson at all. Doesn't make sense. In your situation, you've done maybe all these things, maybe not so extravagant as I explained them, but maybe you went through the motions trying to find, but where is God in my situation? Why am I in this place? That person there is actually in the wrong. But I'm being falsely accused. I'm being hard done by those people. But I am the one, I'm the culprit in their story. And you ask these questions, and you can move from church to church until you realize that Joseph was spot on in the middle of God's will. Right there, he was in God's will. God had nothing against him. God wasn't fighting him. God wasn't trying to teach him a lesson. God wasn't punishing him. God was busy with a plan that he had already thought of, worked out, put all the pieces together, and he said, Joseph, in God's mind, I'm going to use you to eventually, after a couple of years, bless your family. We know the end of the story. He said, but in this journey, he didn't tell him that, but it was going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And your situation and my situation, it's sometimes too tough to handle. And instead of only asking God, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, maybe you would say, oh, you're in control, God. I'm so excited about that, that I know there's going to be an outcome. Because this story tells me there's an outcome. Right? I've got no clue where we are now. So forgive me. What does it say there?
Now he is
13. 13. Alright. Now I'm going to make a twist in this journey. Because this is very, very, very important. This is the part that blessed me. I could not tell you how it blessed me. So he is now in the palace. He's in the prison. He's been in the pit. According to me, the most important people in this whole story, the most important person or people that God used in this story, you can have another view. I'm not talking about that God was in control, he was. But the most important people God used in this story, we're going to read about them now. Is that Genesis 37?
Not yet?
Yes. Okay. Listen to this. And they sat down to eat their meal. They looked up and saw a caravan of people on camels coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. That's the myrrh and spices and stuff. Verse 26. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the people on the camels and not lay our hands on him. After all, he's our brother. Those people on the camels were the most important people in the story. Now, that morning when the people on the camels woke up, they didn't hear God speak to them and say, listen, you need to go down this way. God didn't give them a GPS to land up with the brothers of Joseph. They were just going about with what they were doing, finding things to buy, finding things to sell. They were on their way to Egypt to go and trade. They were just businessmen with camels. And there they went. And God directed their paths and the path of the camels to go close by the brothers of Joseph at the time when Joseph was in the pit. Why not the previous day? Why not a week before that? Why that day when they were plotting to kill him? That moment, God sent these guys on the camels and they stopped over there. Maybe they had a braai or something and exchanging thoughts and just sharing life. And then the one brother said, you know what? We've got a brother there. Let's sell him, man. We can make some bucks. And then he's out of our lives. He's untraceable. We're rid of him. But at least we don't have blood on our hands. After all, he is our brother. And those people on the camels took Joseph from the pit to eventually reach the place of the promise. They were important, don't you think? I think they were so important in the story. Who were they? That's why I didn't want you to read in your Bibles. Who were they? Does it say? What does it say?
26 and 27. That's black. Who were the people on the
map? There we are. They were Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites, the people that were born in sin through his great-grandfather. But God is God, and he can use whoever and whatever he wants to use to get you out of your pit and into the promise. He can even use Ishmaelites. He can use anything. He can use rocks to praise his name. He can use donkeys to speak. He can use anything and everyone in every given moment to take you from your pit or from your prison into your promise. Wow. Ishmaelites. On their journey towards Joseph and the brothers, they didn't talk about God. They didn't say, I wonder what is God's will for us today. Maybe we must do something great, something awesome today. Maybe we're going to rescue someone forever. They were key people in God's story for Joseph. I'm sure if I was God, I wouldn't have used Ishmaelites. But he did. He used Ishmaelites. And in your situation, how painful it may be where you find yourself today. Maybe a very, very painful place. Maybe a place of uncertainty. Maybe a place where you thought of all kinds of ideas, how you're going to get back at them, and how you're going to get out of this pit, and you're going to speak to the bank manager, and maybe he's the guy on the camel. No, he's not. The people on the camels are the people that are in God's heart, in God's mind, to send over my life and your life, to take us from one place to the other. Are you willing to realize today, if you are walking with the Lord, you have confessed your sin? Obviously we must confess our sins. Obviously we need to find out, Lord, what's the purpose in this journey with you, in my pit or my prison? What is this? But if you have come to the end of it all and you say, Lord, I do not understand. I don't deserve to be in this place. There's only one biblical spiritual solution, is that God is in control. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And he has got your name, and he has got your address, and he knows everything about you. He already knows the end of your story. He already sees you in the promise. He already dreams about you and gets excited about you in your promise, but he's with you in this journey from the pit, maybe into the prison, and then eventually the promise. But the great thought is that he can use Ishmaelites. He can use anything and anyone to take you out. So if you're desperate, if you're really desperate, and you're hurt, and you don't understand why things are happening, there were two keys. There were two secrets that Joseph had. And we will be closing with this. Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Moses. This verse is taken from the passage where Joseph was in trouble with Potiphar's wife, and she having a go at him, and he's righteous in God's eyes, and he would not fall for her schemes, and he ended up being accused and in prison. It was taken from there. The Lord was with Joseph. Can you put in your name there? And can you chase the tense? Can you say, the Lord is with me? The Lord is with me. I want to speak to you this morning and say, the Lord is with you in your pit, in your prison. He's there. Don't break your head about answers. Don't break your head about why. Don't break your head about those things. Just settle down in your spirit and say, Lord, thank you for encouraging me this morning that you are with me. And when Jesus is enough, then that is enough in my pit and in my prison, that he's with me. It can be emotional prison, it can be a spiritual prison, it could be any financial prison, it could be anything. You know where you are. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have told me to bring this message here if he didn't think there were people in pits or prisons. And that doesn't make you a second-grade Christian. Look at Joseph. He was a great guy. What was his second key? So Pharaoh asked them, Genesis 41:38. Is it there? Can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God. Do never underestimate the Spirit of God in you. Jesus, the Lord, is with you, and the Holy Spirit is within you. So wherever you find yourself in, spiritually, financially, emotionally, whatever, wherever you are, in that pit, in that prison, hold on to these things. The Lord is with me, and the Holy Spirit is within me. And in His strength, I will get through. He has not forgotten about me. He has not deserted me. I've done nothing wrong that I know of. If I did something wrong, He will tell you. He won't wait 13 years to tell you what you've done wrong. If you ask Him now, He'll tell you now. Because you need to repent now. So when it's a long, outstretched journey, know that the Lord is with you. And the Spirit of God is within you. That's enough. That's enough. Time is not of the essence. Time is not of the essence. Time is just something that ticks by. What is important is your spiritual and my spiritual condition. And to know that the Lord is with you. And His Spirit dwells within us. There's a scripture about that. If you're in your pit, you've heard the scripture many, many times. So Romans 8:28, does it say it?
Yes.
And we know, not that we hope, not that we guess, we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him. Who of you here love Him? Show your hand. Do you love Him? This is for you. Can I read it again? For we know, do you know? That in all things God works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So He's going to take you from your pit, from your prison, to the place of promise so that you can fulfill your purpose. Why were you born? You were not born to live in a pit. You were not born to live in a prison. You were born for His promises and His purpose. And until you reach that, know that the Lord is with you. And know that His Holy Spirit is within you. What more do we want? What more do we want? And to know this, I'm encouraged by this. And just to end, just a thought. For God to work on this earth among people, He needs people on camels. So your take home phrase is, the people on the camels. Can you remember that? Can you remember that by Tuesday and Wednesday? Would you remember that by next Friday? The people on the camels? Because if you remind yourself on the people of the camels, everything will make sense. Not every word we said, but everything will make sense. That God is in control. He's with me, His Holy Spirit dwells within me, and I am okay. So can you remember the people on the camels? Alright. But God uses people. Just a thought. Maybe when you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, may I be a person on the camel today for someone else? Wow. Now the church comes alive. We are there for each other. In this whole plan and purpose of God to bring us into the place of promise. So that we can fulfill our purpose. Thank you for the opportunity. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the greatest words a congregation loves to hear. Is a pastor saying amen. And it actually closes. Many pastors say amen and they carry on with part two. Of their sermon. Have you been encouraged?
Yes.
Are you okay where you are spiritually? If there is sin, confess. If there is sin, please confess the sin. Don't live in sin. Don't tolerate sin. Don't entertain sin. Go and make right if you need to make right. But once you've done everything and you find yourself still in this dry place, maybe your pit is a desert. Maybe your pit is a family that has turned their backs on you. Maybe your pit is a church that has hurt you. Any kinds of pits that you find yourself. Know this. He's with you. And His Spirit dwells within you. And He will work out things for the good if you keep on loving Him. Shall we all stand? Lord, as we just give time for this word to just penetrate our spirits, it could take just this one day, this is one morning, to alter everything in our spirits. To give us hope for when we become hopeless. To give us joy when we're not supposed to have joy. To bring edification when we are really clueless in our spiritual walk. But thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for loving each one here this morning. And if they walk with you, and they love you, and they serve you, you are with them. The Holy Spirit dwells within them. And you will escalate them from the pit to your plan and purpose, according to your promise. Lord, we pray that we will have the patience to wait for you. Lord, I pray that if we forget everything, that we somehow just think back of the people on the camels. But above all, you're an amazing, amazing, amazing Father. So loving, so kind, so gracious, so forgiving, so patient. Help us, Lord, as we journey with you with joy. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, and power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, and now, and evermore. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.